that's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, portfolio manager of Southport Capital. Well, you know what? What a week it's been. What a week it has been. It was a four-day week, right, with the Monday off, but it seems like it was an eight-day week in the market with just the market all over the map this week. What's an investor supposed to do? Well, I'm going to do my best here during the next hour that I have with you to kind of describe, break down what's going on, what I see, and more importantly, what I see going forward. I mean, that's really what counts here right now. You know, this reflation trade versus technology trade is all over the map. On Thursday of this past week, we saw a huge sell-off in the reflation stocks. What are the reflation stocks? Well, the commodities, you know, the Freeport Mac brands, the Caterpillars, the Cummins engines, the Deers, things like that. Companies that are benefiting, and we would say probably the retailers, the consumer discretionary companies that are benefiting from all the loose monetary policy out there and all the stimulus that has gone into the economy. But, you know, on Thursday, the market acted like that was all over. It was coming to an end. And, of course, the bond market has been saying, boy, growth is slowing. Well, then on Friday, we have a huge, huge pop in the reflation stocks with the Dow up almost 400 as I am recording this show. And the reflation stocks are on fire, absolutely on fire today, while tech takes a backseat and the bond market sells off. Well, welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, 21 years as a professional money manager, several years in my early days as an analyst writing up research reports, a veteran of two severe bear markets, a 79% downdraft in the NASDAQ back in 2000, and, of course, a 53% drubbing of the S&P 500 back in the year 2008, the financial crisis, they called it, the Great Recession, where a lot of banks went too far out on a limb. A lot of home loans went belly up, and you know what? It infected the stock market big time. Well, I think that experience in the market, you know, you always think you've seen everything in the market, but you never have. There's always something that comes along that you've never seen before. But, you know, I wouldn't trade those 21 years of watching the market for anything. You could take all the courses you want. You can take watch all the YouTube videos you want. You can even take, you get a degree in economics or whatever, you know, is market related. But until you sat in front of a computer and actually been involved in buying and selling and running portfolios and watching the macro picture of the market, you know, I use the analogy that I myself, Bill Gunderson, I am based right now out of Charleston, Mount Pleasant area of South Carolina. I was in San Diego for many, many years, five decades in San Diego. My wife and I moved out this way to be closer to family. We have family in San Diego, too. But the fishing's a little better here. The taxes are a little lower. The fried green tomatoes are a little more attractive. You know, there's a lot of pluses to living where we live now. But during that time, every day of my life, I can't remember the last time I missed a day of work. This is my love. This is my passion. Just like a fishing guide every morning, you know, he brews his coffee, he gets his boat warmed up, he picks up his clients. He's done his intel and his research for hopefully where some of the best fishing might be. We live in a pretty fertile area on the Charleston Harbor here, and our little part of the Atlantic Ocean out to the Gulf Stream, we get some pretty good fishing. Well, a fishing guide has a big advantage over me, a weekend fisherman. You know, maybe a couple times a month I get out there. In October I get out there a lot more because that's when it's really good here. But I'm a fishing guide in the stock market. I'm in the water every day. I don't care if it's raining. I don't care if it's pouring. I don't care if there's a hurricane coming through Wall Street. I don't care if it's bright and sunny and the market is exploding like it is here at the end of the week. I'm in the water every single day. And I've always looked at several factors. You know, over the 21 years that I've been a professional money manager, I've had some pretty good mentors. I've watched some pretty good traders and professional money managers. I've watched some pretty good analysts. I watch the news every morning on the market for several hours. I read about everything I can about the markets before I do my weekday radio show every single day. Now, of course, I have a Saturday show in many markets across America. But I really love doing that research. That helps me. I always believe that good inspiration comes from good information. And the more information that you can pack into your head, the more information you have, the better decisions, the better inspiration. The market does take a little bit of inspiration. There is no mechanical system. Nobody's invented a mechanical trading system. Maybe these high-frequency traders have, I don't know, to gain a little bit of an edge daily on the market, but you can put everything together, you know, in your strategy, which I'll describe my strategy here in a bit. But at the end of the day, you have to have a little intuition and be able to call on that experience you've had in the market too. You know, I'm a guy who looks at stock charts. First, I narrow down the market considerably, whether it's mutual funds, ETFs, individual bonds, bond funds, I don't care. Individual stocks. Valuation probably is where I begin, all right? I learned a good valuation lesson back in the year 2000 when many pure momentum investors, canned slim investors, really got clobbered, okay? And people following that strategy really got clobbered when the NASDAQ went down 79%. That's right. The NASDAQ went down 79%. And I know that a lot of people out there listening to me maybe remember that. I mean, how can you forget it? You saw your 401k at work, your IRA, your trading account, whatever the case may be. When the NASDAQ goes down 79%, a lot of stocks went down 90, 95%, and then they weren't around anymore, a lot of the dot-com stocks in particular. Well, we learned a very good valuation lesson back then. You know, valuations do matter. You can't pay just any price to sales ratio for a company. You can't pay just any price to book value or any price to earnings value for a company. Valuations at the end of the day do matter. Okay, we learned that. Now, valuation, you know, it's not that hard. It's not that difficult. We look at future earnings expectations. We look at future growth. We compound those numbers out for several years, and then we apply a multiple that we think is appropriate for a company with that kind of a growth rate in that industry. And with, you know, looking at comparable companies in the same industry, and we come up with target prices, five-year target prices. I have a database that I use that I invented. It's called the beststocksnowapp.com, the beststocksnowapp.com. I use it for my own personal use. It calculates the valuations, five-year valuations on the companies within my database. I have about almost 6,000 now ETFs, mutual funds, and stocks in that database. And subscribers to the database, which is $8.99 a month, I created the database for my own use as a professional money manager. Then I decided to share it. It's very valuable. I use it exclusively to to put together the portfolios that I manage. Well, the database has those valuations in there. They're updated daily as companies, revise their expectations higher or lower, or as analysts revise their expectations higher or lower. I need to have 80% or more upside potential in a stock before I consider buying it. That's a 5-year, 80% or more upside potential. But it doesn't end with valuation, okay? Not only is valuation critical with individual stocks, it's critical with the market. In the last segment of today's show, we'll talk about the current valuation of the market. But when we come back, valuation alone is not enough. I'm going to tell you what the other big factor in investing is. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Back here to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. I ran my own firm for some 15 years, Gunderson Capital Management. Recently merged it with a larger nationwide firm, Southport Capital. So we do have boots on the ground in many cities across America, and my show can now be heard in a lot more cities, many cities across America. I've always been in quite a few different cities, but now I'm in even more. We get a lot of calls from Detroit. I'd like to welcome Detroit into the mix, and we've also got different Jacksonville, Florida. Excited to be there, too. So I love doing the show. I've been doing it for 21 years. I've written a newsletter for the last 21 years about the stock market. I'm a stock market junkie. Not only am I a professional in my industry, but me personally, I'm a stock market junkie. I mean, I'm all over it every single day. I'm up to my eyeballs in it every single day. I look at probably 1,000 stock charts every single day. I have a pretty good feel for what's going on in the market daily. And as I said, I've written a newsletter for the last 21 years that has my model, that has my model portfolios in it, and my macro call on the market, which is very important. I do believe in a little bit of market timing. You know, after being a veteran of two severe bear markets, I know you do not want to own stocks in an earnings recession or in a recession in the economy. You want to have very little exposure to stocks. And you want to have very little exposure to bonds in a rising interest rate environment. So, you know, I'm not a believer in the asset allocation model that's based on age alone. I think it's also important to know what the interest rate environment is, what the economic environment is, what the earnings for the S&P 500. Now, they've been going up for the last 13 years. That's why the market's gone up for the last 13 years. It's just obvious that when those market expectations start to taper downwards and point down, you're looking at the next bear market. And you certainly don't want to ride through that. At least not all of it. You're not going to get out right at the top. But the most important factor impacting the market going forward will be earnings expectations, okay? And we'll talk about that in the final quarter of the show. I want to go back to my newsletter for just a moment. I offer 2 free weeks of my newsletter. I put my heart and soul into that thing every Friday. Actually, I begin it on Thursday. Friday, I'm totally immersed in it along with managing money, and I send it out Saturday morning. I send it out to thousands of people all over the world that follow me through my podcast, which this show gets podcast put up to the podcast sites every day. They follow me on my daily radio live show, and they get my newsletter. And I offer out 2 free weeks if you go to my website at GundersonCapital.com. That's Gunderson Capital, S-O-N, AndersonCapital.com. And in that newsletter, you'll find my my model portfolios from the most conservative, which is a bond portfolio that's done very well. It's made up of individual bonds from our Best Stocks Now list. We have a dividend and growth portfolio. We have an ultra growth portfolio. We have an emerging growth portfolio. And we have a large cap growth portfolio. And I'm going to come back. We were talking about valuations in the first quarter of the show. I'm going to bring it back to that second factor that I like in stocks. But I wanted to kind of describe where I'm headed with all of this. Because in my portfolios, I end up with companies, I own stocks that meet my criteria, okay? And the first criteria is valuation. The second criteria is momentum. What is momentum? Well, if the market's up 12% over the last 12 months and a stock is up 48%, that's momentum. That's also known as relative strength. It means on a relative basis, it's doing much better than the market, the stock, or mutual fund, or ETF, or bond, whatever the case may be. And at the same time, it's doing better than its peers, okay, other stocks. Relative strength is usually measured on a scale of 1 to 99, with 99 being the strongest. I have, personally, a grading scale from F to A+, okay? A+ means these are the strongest stocks on a relative basis in the entire market. I look at that A+ list every day. It's a very important list to know where the strength in the market is at any given point in time because it changes all the time. You know, last year was all about momentum, go, go, go stocks. They had a big sell-off back in February of this year, didn't they? And if you continued to ride an ETF like ARK, A-R-K-K, you went down 40%. There was a massive rotation into the reflation area. The momentum of the market left the high-growth stocks and went into the reflation area of the market, the commodities, the cyclicals, the financials, the energy stocks. Now you've got kind of a combination of both going on. Some days the high-growth technology stocks do well, and some days the reflation stocks do well. I think right now you have to have a little combination of both types of stocks in your portfolios. When you combine valuation with good relative strength, now you've got two of the characteristics that I like to see in the stocks that I own. And it really narrows down. You know, the market is made up of mediocrity. There is a lot of mediocrity in the market. Companies that have underperformed the market for years, okay? Companies that aren't growing anymore. You know, the IBMs of the world, the General Electrics of the world. I call them stocks of yesteryear. I call them soggy, stodgy old growth giants of yesteryear. In the meantime, you know, we live in a day and age where we've seen a revolution in the technology industry. We've seen a revolution in the phone, you know, cell phone industry. Now we're seeing a revolution in the auto industry with the electrification of the automobile and the autonomous driving capabilities and the software. You're seeing cybersecurity. You're seeing cloud software stocks. Those, to me, are the stocks of today. Well, you know, your Kimberly Clarks and your Philip Morris, I mean, they were good at one time, weren't we all? But they're not the leading stocks anymore, okay? So when you combine that, and this shows up in the performance numbers, okay? AT&T is a stodgy old performer when you compare it to, you know, an Amazon or an Apple, right? Apple's the telephone stock of today, not AT&T. And that shows up in not only valuation, it shows up in relative strength. And it shows up in growth. These companies are still growing. Now, when we come back, I'm going to go to the third criteria. And then in the final quarter, we're going to talk about the biggest one of all. But in the meantime, you can get 2 weeks free of my newsletter, which goes through all of this at GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. You know, over the years, I've been all over the country with my radio show in many cities across America, but I've also taught many workshops on the market. I guess one of my great loves is teaching. I'm a frustrated teacher, but I also love what I do, being a professional money manager. And I love to share the experiences I've had in the market and what I've learned from the market, having some pretty good mentors, some mutual fund managers, some professional analysts in the market, and the observations I've made over the years, both from the momentum side of the investing aisle and from the valuation side of the investing aisle, right? And I don't think there's any one thing. I don't think you can be a pure value investor because, you know, a lot of those value stocks, value mutual funds, are invested in a lot of really dead stocks. We call them value traps. And, you know, being a pure momentum investor is a dangerous game. You're kind of walking a tightrope, not knowing the valuation that's underneath you. I look at valuation as kind of that safety net that is underneath you, because stocks usually do come back to valuation. So I think combining those two is very important. And when I invented my ranking system about 10 years ago, which is called BestStocksNowApp.com, it's a very powerful database. You know, on a daily basis, it ranks the asset classes. It gives the buy or sell signal on the big S&P 500, the Dow, the NASDAQ. Suffice it to say that we've been on a buy signal for quite some time now in the markets. It ranks the sectors of the market. There's about 60. Right now, the software sector's at the top of the heap of those 60 sectors, and why not? I mean, the cybersecurity and hack types of stocks are doing quite well. And then it ranks individual stocks for me on a daily basis. And I try to stay with stocks that are B-plus or better. That narrows it down considerably for me as a fishing guide trying to guide my clients to the best fishing out there in the markets right now. Right now, I have about 650 B-plus or better stocks to peruse out of the 6,000 or so in my database, and I'll be looking at all of those today, and I'll talk about that in a moment. The third leg of this stool that I stand on every day to try to give me a little stability in the market. I also rank mutual funds. It ranks ETFs. Very valuable. I mean, it's very valuable. It saves me a lot of time. Instead of looking at 6,000 every day, I can really narrow it down on focus on just the best. Because at the end of the day, in the portfolios that I manage, I generally have about 25 stocks in each portfolio. So, for instance, in my ultra growth, which is made up of more small and mid caps, I try to find the 25 best. You know, this Tuesday's the baseball all-star game. I'm also a big baseball fan. I guess I also consider myself kind of a general manager of five teams, right? An ultra growth team, an aggressive growth team, a bond team, a large cap growth team. Isn't it the aim of us all to put the best 25 on the field at any given point in time, no matter what portfolio we're running or what team we're running or whatever the case may be? Well, that's what I strive to do. I've also learned that you can't always have your offense on the field. I was a big fan growing up in San Diego of the San Diego Chargers and Air Coryell. I watched him at San Diego State. It's Don Coryell, an offensive genius. I have a big autographed picture in my office of Dan Fouts and Don Coryell. Coryell was an offensive genius. You know, they're still using the Coryell West Coast offense all across the NFL today, the late Don Coryell. But you know what? You've got to have a defense, too. Look at February of this year. Those offensive stocks were on the move, and they were flying. Last year it was all about the electric vehicle sector, the cryptocurrency sector, the cloud stocks. And we had a very big, big year last year here at Gunderson Capital Management, which is now part of Southport Capital. We had a very big year. You know, all of the indicators that I watched were pointing to the go-go stocks, and they started pointing to those go-go stocks back in March of 2020 at the bottom of COVID when everybody was bearish. I wrote an article for Seeking Alpha. You can go to seekingalpha.com. We write an article every week, almost, for that publication. I'm ranked in the top 3 to 4% of all of the writers. I think there's 8,000 that they monitor, just over 8,000, and they base our ranking on the performance of what we say, right? I went all in of March, about March 23rd of last year, when everybody was gloomy and bearish for the most part. I was looking ahead a year and a half to 2 years, which is what the market does, and the market had already priced in the COVID shutdown, the COVID issue, and was looking ahead beyond it. Now we're looking ahead a couple years to 2024, believe it or not, 2023 actually, and we'll get into that in the final segment of the show. But I want to now go back to the third leg of the stool. Where does trouble first start to show up in a stock or in an index or in a mutual fund or in a bond? Well, I look at one-year patterns, technical patterns, okay? Valuation, critical. Momentum, relative strength, critical. But the third thing is looking at a chart and the health of it. I mean, a doctor, the first thing he does is he looks at a chart of your heart or your weight or whatever. And if he shakes his head, that's not a good thing. And goes, ooh, you know, that's a problem. I hate going to the doctor for a checkup. They're always going to say the same thing. You got to eat less, lose some weight, you know, all the things. Exercise more or else. Well, anyways, I look at stock charts. I look at a one-year chart. For instance, right now, Tesla has a terrible chart, and it has had since February and March of this year. It's an indication that those high flyers all started to have a big comeuppance back in February and March of this year. ARK, the ARK funds, which is a proxy for that space in the market, that high growth speculative space, which a lot of young people are playing today. They weren't around in 2000 with the big dot-com burst and bubble. Maybe they should be listening to me here, because I think there's going to be another bursting of that bubble. There kind of was in February, of the crypto space, the blockchain space, the SPAC space, which was way overblown, the electric vehicle space, which was way overblown. That's why for me it's so important to look at charts every day. That's part of being in the water of the market. I easily look at 1,000 charts a day. I use MarketSmith, which is online. It's a Investor's Business Daily product. And I have like 6,000 or 7,000 different stocks in my database. But, of course, I narrow it down every day. Now, what am I looking for? Well, let's just keep it simple. If you look at the predominant trend over the last 6 weeks or 3 months or 4 months, is it sideways? That's number one. Well, you're getting my whole lesson here today that I teach in my workshop. Is it in an uptrend? Well, Tesla's not in an uptrend. Uh-uh. If it's in an uptrend, it's number two. Amazon's in a beautiful uptrend right now. Apple, large cap, reliable growth stocks right now are kind of leading the market right now. They're in uptrends. Is it in a topping out trend? It's been going up, and now it's starting to go sideways. Well, that's what I saw in a lot of the high flyers back in February and March, and that was a warning for me to get out of my high flyers. I sold a lot of stocks, Fiverr, Upwork, Daco Energy, a lot of the work from home stocks that I was in back at that point in time, Etsy. I got out of the way and I took big, big profits in those stocks. I saw trouble brewing in those one-year charts. Okay, then they go sideways. And then if they start to roll over into a downtrend, that's the worst trend of all. That's a number four trend. That topping out trend is number three. I like to buy stocks that have been going sideways, and now they're starting to break out into an uptrend. But they've got to have valuation and momentum also. That really narrows the list down. So what are some of the best stocks now, and what's the fourth factor of all that dwarfs them all? Well, we'll talk about that when we come back, but every week in my newsletter, I show you the top 300 stocks, the best sectors in the market, my current portfolios, and I give you 2 free weeks. How about that? GundersonCapital.com. You can also call us if you don't know how to use the internet, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go. Do what you want to do with it.
And welcome back here to the final segment. Well, it's true, as the song says, you got to go where you got to go where you want to go in the market. You got to go where you want to go with who you want managing your money. A lot of people manage their own money. I have created tools for the individual investor, the DIY, the do-it-yourselfer. I have the BestStocksNowApp.com, which is a wonderful tool. The whole aim of that is to keep you in the right areas of the market and out of all the wrong neighborhoods, right? I have the newsletter that I put out every week, which I offer 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. I also have a live trading. Every time I make a buy or sell in one of my portfolios, I let my live trading followers know. I'm on StockTwits and Twitter. I'm at Bill Gunderson. I have over 50,000 followers on StockTwits. I do a show every day, Monday through Friday and Saturday, and I upload those to all the podcast sites and to my website, GundersonCapital.com. I have people all over the world that listen to my show on a daily basis. The name of the show is Best Stocks Now with Bill Gunderson. And lastly, I personally, along with a little bit of help from my friends, manage 5 different portfolios for folks all across America. And these portfolios come from different walks of life. I'm a fee-based money manager. All my accounts are held at Ameritrade, which will soon be with Schwab, I think 6 months from now, something like that. You can, if you're with Schwab now, we can still handle your account. People transfer their existing accounts to me all the time on a daily basis. I get accounts coming to me. And I don't put you into all my stocks the very first day. No, I ease you in as I take a, like one of the stocks I already own and it's come back to a nice area. I put you in that stock. And I take your stocks that you currently own and put them on my daily watch list. And I get rid of them as time goes by and I don't like them, or you know, they're starting to break down or whatever. It's a process. It's not a wow, one day it was this and the next day it's that. I don't believe in doing that in the market. And there's going to be times when I'm not going to be heavily invested. I might have some cash sitting on the sidelines. I might be having a hard time finding a good value, good momentum, that combination. Or I don't like the overall market. Now, I've been a bull for the last 13 years, other than a few little times when I got cautious. Why have I been a bull? Well, this is the fourth segment of the show. The market, the most important factor of all. I don't care how good of a stock picker you are, or mutual fund, or ETF, or bond, whatever the case may be, cryptocurrency. If the market is not in your favor, the odds against you are very high of finding winners in the market. You've got to have the market, the wind at your back. The wind has been at our back for the last 13 years. Why? Because in the year 2009, if you don't learn anything else from this show, this is very, very critical. The market follows earnings and earnings expectations. And the earnings that the market follows are the aggregate S&P 500 earnings. Just make it simple. That's something that's readily available. You can find it out there. It's in my newsletter every week, what the expectations are for this year, next year, the year after that, for the 500 companies that make up the S&P 500. In simple terms, the market's been going up since 2009. We hit a bottom of $55 per share for the S&P back then. It's been going up every single year except for the COVID year, which we call, you know, in the accounting business, that was an anomaly. That was a one-off. Probably won't repeat itself, we hope. And earnings are going to hit a record number this year. They're expected to hit a record number next year, but now we're looking at 2022, you see. 2023, actually. What are we expecting in 2023? Well, that's made it very easy to be a bull. You know, that takes a lot of the mystery out of the market. I think very few people know that one lesson, that markets and individual stocks follow earnings and earnings expectations. Why do you think Amazon's been going up and hitting new highs for the last many years? Because earnings have been going up every year at Amazon, and earnings expectations are higher next year than this year. And they're higher 2 years from now. It's not only watching the earnings of the past, but it's watching the earnings expectations of the future. Why do you think a stock like IBM has been flat or AT&T has been flat? Because the earnings have been flat. And why do you think a stock that's been going down, you know, over the last several years? Because their earnings have been going down. Stocks and indexes follow earnings. But even more importantly, they follow earnings expectations. There's no better evidence of that fact. Just watch what happens when an analyst raises expectations on a company, upgrades it, the stock goes up immediately. It follows those expectations. And the market does the same thing. And every day the market is debating whether the expectations are going up or going down, whether they're too high or they're too low. Well, I just keep my eye a couple years down the road. That's how I was able to make my big call last March, called the bottom of the market. That's in the macro area of the newsletter. That's the most important two paragraphs in the whole newsletter. I update that every week. Being a market timer, I've been right for the last 13 years. Well, I offer out 2 free weeks of the newsletter. As I've said, you can go to my website, GundersonCapital.com. If you'd like to explore and talk to one of my advisors, they know the system. They know how we manage money. They leave me alone to manage the money. They're the ones that will talk to you. I have a chartered financial analyst. He's also a CFP. And I have several other advisors across America who know the Gunderson system of managing money. If you'd like to talk to one of them, if you're not happy where you're at, or if you're sick of doing it yourself, if it's just too much, if it's driving you nuts, generally speaking, it's driving your wife nuts. That's what I find. He's driving me nuts with this market stuff. Well, anyways, you can get in touch with us at 855-611-BEST. And if you're a do-it-yourselfer, take a look at the newsletter. Take a look at the results we've achieved. You know, this year's a tough year, but we had a huge year last year. And you can look at how we have done over the years and what we currently own and what our current macro outlook is. There's the key. GundersonCapital.com. Also, check out the show every day, Best Stocks Now with Bill Gunderson on the podcast sites. Hey, this has been a lot of fun. We'll be back Monday. Take care, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.